ॐ अज्ञानाथिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनासलकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाखदामायां ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम् नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते तमा कृष्णगोस्वामी नित्यनामिने नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामी नित्यनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्य देशचारिणे पंचगौपत्रुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे The first time I met Tamal Krishna Goswami was in Boston. At that time, Brahmananda Prabhu was also in Boston. And seeing the two of them together was amazing. Because they were both so fixed on Srila Prabhupada and absorbed in Srila Prabhupada, they would just spend all their time together talking about Srila Prabhupada. But it was really when Srila Prabhupada sent me to India and I worked under Tamal Krishna Goswami in India that he and I became close. One of the turning points of our relationship took place in Calcutta. Previously in Bombay, there were so many senior devotees with Srila Prabhupada. But after the first Bombay Pandal, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to have another Pandal like it in Calcutta. And so he sent Tamal Krishna Goswami and me there. So one evening, actually night I would say, one night when all the other devotees had taken rest, I was on the balcony of the temple. Maybe I was finishing one or two rounds. And Tamal Krishna Goswami came out and, stood next to me. We were both sort of leaning on the balcony, looking back to where the lake was. And he just started to open up and speak about Srila Prabhupada. And I was a very new devotee and I did not have a very clear conception of many things related to Srila Prabhupada. But Tamal Krishna Goswami made me see things in a different light. So he explained a little about some things that had happened in Los Angeles before Srila Prabhupada came to India. And and Tamalkrishna Goswami said that he was one of, like, Srila Prabhupada's most trusted men. And that also was a new concept because, you know, I thought Srila Prabhupada saw everyone equally and, you know, had faith in Krishna. And then another thing Tamalkrishna Goswami said that was a new angle for me. He started to speak about our god brother Shyam Sundar, what a great preacher he was. Now, I had never heard Shyam Sundar Prabhu give any classes, so I was sort of surprised when Tamalkrishna Goswami said he was such a great preacher. And Tamalkrishna Goswami said, well, preaching doesn't mean just speaking, but it means organizing the preaching. And that Shyam Sundar Prabhu had really done tremendous preaching over the years, and most recently in Bombay, with the first Bombay Pandal. And then Tamalkrishna Goswami came to a point that really revolutionized my approach to Krishna consciousness. And he said that, you know, the secret of success in spiritual life is faith in and service to the spiritual master. Now, up until then, I had heard so many things. We have to attend the morning program, we have to chant our rounds, we have to read the books, we have to do service. And they were all items of devotional service. But there was no specific unifying perspective. But after Tamalkrishna Goswami spoke about service to the spiritual master, I started to see everything and from the perspective of service to the spiritual master. And everything was seen as service to the spiritual master, and my priorities became Prabhupada's priorities. So, anyway, we put on the pandal. It was a great success. And I'm going to skip ahead now because His Holiness Keshava Bharati Das Goswami asked me to speak about the Bhaktivedanta Ashram here. One very important event in the development of ISKCON was Purijan Prabhu's creation of the VIHE. It was revolutionary to have classes like a regular school with a curriculum, with exams, with attendance, you know. And the leading devotees in ISKCON came and taught at the VIHE. The first year I wasn't able to come because I was struggling to get a visa to come back to India. But, you know, of course, Bhurijan Prabhu taught and Tamalkrishna Goswami taught, Jayadvaita Swami taught a course on clear thinking and strong preaching. And Dhanadhar Swami taught a course. Maybe. So, but then a year later I came. And a very strong camaraderie developed among the teachers. Gurijan Prabhu's idea, and it was perfect, was that there are five most powerful items of devotional service: sadhu sangha, associating with devotees, namakirtana, chanting the holy name, bhagavat shravana, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Mathura Vasa, residing in Mathura Vrindavan, and worshipping the deity. So his idea that was that in the VIHE, all the students would do all of those, and specifically in Vrindavan, where the potency of everything or the value of everything is magnified. So spending time in Vrindavan, we came to appreciate more of what Vrindavan actually was. And what Govardhan actually was. When Srila Prabhupada, before Srila Prabhupada left, on November 14th, 1977, he expressed a desire to come to Govardhan on a bullock cart. And devotees had actually got a bullock cart from Mathura and were making arrangements to take Srila Prabhupada on the bullock cart. But Srila Prabhupada's condition was so delicate, it seemed inconceivable to many of the devotees how Srila Prabhupada could make that journey and survive. And in the end, you know, many of the senior devotees, and especially Tamal Krishna Goswami and Bhavananda Prabhu, you know, appealed to him not to go. And then Prabhupada agreed. But after Prabhupada left, the devotees came to Govardhan on parikrama with a small brass deity of Srila Prabhupada. I wasn't even aware that there were deities of Srila Prabhupada then. And
his polytheist deity. And she was feeling so much separation after she stopped serving in person that he gave her permission, in fact, to make one.
Keshava Bharti Maharaj says that the deity belonged to Palika Mataji, who had been in Srila Prabhupada's personal staff. She would serve him and cook for him. And after she left his personal service, she was feeling so much separation from him that Srila Prabhupada gave her permission to have a deity made of him, which she was worshipping. And that was the deity.
And the only other deities were Vrindavan on the altar and the faith exhibition.
And the only other deities of Srila Prabhupada in the movement then was the deity of him on the altar in Vrindavan and one of him in the faith exhibit. So, I had never done Govardhan Parikrama before, and all the places were new to me. They actually did half Parikrama, not full.
Not three quarters. But we went from Radhakund, and then we went around to here, and then back to the pavement in the middle of Jordan, and then came back to Kusum Sarovar for the first year.
So, at one point in the parikrama, we took the little deity of Srila Prabhupada to Radhakund, and the deity was placed at the Sangam, between the two kunds, and there was kirtan, and somehow at that moment, his deity, his deity sort of manifested himself as Srila Prabhupada, or maybe just by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he revealed that actually there's no difference, absolutely no difference between his deity and him. I mean, I could just feel it. He was there. It was him. So, then coming back to our days together at VIHE and studying scripture, visiting places in Vraj. Some friend suggested that, you know, ISKCON should have a place at Govardhan Hill, and even was aware of this palace. Now, this palace belonged to the Maharaj of Chhatarpur in Madhya Pradesh.
Madhya Pradesh, that's right.
And he had like two palaces, not maybe an hour apart, one in Chhatarpur and one in Khajuraho. And so the palace wasn't being used. It had been given on rent to a school, but even the school was closed. So Tamalakrishna Goswami, you know, we discussed we should go in on it together and get this property. It was like considered the best at Govardhan Hill, because the hill is at its highest here, one of its highest, and it's very beautiful, peaceful, bucolic setting, but at the same time near enough to the town that it wasn't vulnerable, because at least in those days when you got a little bit away, you're very vulnerable to dacoits and the thieves and whatnot. So, and he suggested that I go with a local lawyer. So we went, and we didn't know what to expect, but we went to Khajuraho, and the king was there at his palace, and he was old, you know, in his 70s. And so, you know, we brought up about the palace at Govardhan and that we would like it. So he was aware of ISKCON. He'd been to the Krishna Balaram temple. He was very impressed with the temple and ISKCON's management. And so he was quite confident that we would do a good job.
Pardon me. He also fell in love with Giriraj Maharaj. I knew that he wouldn't say it, so I had to say it.
Anyway, there are different perspectives. So, you know, sort of in Prabhupada's style, I asked him to donate it to us. And he said, you know, if you had approached me a few years ago, I probably would have done it. But times are not good for kings And, you know, I'm just not in a position to give it to you. So, all right. Well, how much do you want? And he named a figure that was a fraction of what he could have got for it. And it seemed within our budget, and I didn't want to argue and jeopardize the whole thing. So I agreed. So the lawyer, who was a local man, he was maybe, more practical or more experienced. So he said that he whispered to me, you should have the king show you his deity. And then when you're in front of the deity, have him repeat his offer so that you won't go back on it.
I hadn't heard that one yet.
Oh,
that's great.
So I said, you know, you're like such a pious devotee. Can I see your temple? Can I see your deity? So he took me into the palace, like a huge palace. But it was like, you know, it wasn't very well maintained. It was just, but you could see the grandeur that they used to live in. And so, and it's amazing because, like, he had Sadbhuj, that very special form of Lord Chaitanya with two hands as a sannyasi, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, two hands as Ramachandra, two hands as Krishna. So they said, you know, this is so auspicious that you're offering your palace to us and in front of your deity. Why don't we just celebrate it by reconfirming your... And he did it. And then it seemed, okay, it seems secure enough. So we left. You know, it was all worked out. We wanted to sign the documents, but there were delays and delays and delays and delays. Finally, Tamal Krishna Goswami thought that his family may be putting obstacles. And actually, we also heard, because the system here is that, people have pandas. And the pandas aren't just like local people who show you places of pilgrimage, but they deal in real estate. And so the panda, he was like outraged because the king was offering it to us, I think, for 3.5 lakhs, and the panda was saying like, we could easily get 18 or 20 lakhs for it. So he was outraged. And he like, I'm going to speak to the king, you know, this can't happen. And then there was the king's... Anyway, the king's secretary. And then I think his son had died, but the widow was there. I mean, there were like a lot of people who had interests. So Tamal Krishna Goswami thought, you know, we need to send some people down there to investigate the situation. So as His Holiness Keshava Bharti Das Goswami mentioned, Tamal Krishna Goswami was very expert at identifying who was good for what job and what combination of people would be good.
Oh, yeah.
So he came up with a team of Mahaprabhu Das from Bombay. He was a lawyer and very, like, reliable, but not so tactful. And the other one was Mahamantragas from New Delhi, who was very tactful and very shrewd, but not so dependable. It wasn't like sure. Anyway, you get the idea.
We've got lots of stories about that one afterwards. Go ahead.
So the idea was to send the two of them. So the two of them went down, and they found out all the people who had interests and who were putting obstacles. You know, the king kept saying, I want to give, I gave my word. I'm not the type of person that would go back on my word, but there's my secretary, and then this one, and that one, and my daughter-in-law. And so, I guess they were in touch with Kamal Krishna Goswami. And so they came up with a figure that they needed to pay to satisfy all the secretaries and family members. And Kamal Krishna Goswami agreed on the figure. And that worked. That did the job. And then, I mean, if I were to go into all the details, it would be quite a long story. But then on Varaha Dvadasi, the document was actually signed and registered in the courthouse in Mathura. And then the next day, Nityananda Trayodasi, the devotees came and did, you know, entered the premises and did kirtan.
When was that you brought me here and we went up under the roof and took a nap?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Was that before that?
That was after.
It was after.
Yeah, that was the very first time that we ever...
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But the Chokriya was still living there. And we had to be very careful for some reason. I don't remember
maybe
the reason was.
Yeah. Anyway, there were still a lot of complications because the school was officially the tenant. So we had to get the school out, and it was like a government school. So eventually, I think the same combination, Mahaprabhu and Mahamantra went to Lucknow, to the state capital, to try to get the state government to clear, removing all the school's property, because it was state property. There were a lot of
filled up with desks and chairs and the almirahs and this and that.
All the rooms are just filled up with the schools. Yeah, desks, chairs, cupboards, and so on. So, at the time, we had created a trust called the Bhaktivedanta Ashram Trust. We were planning to put the property in the name of the trust. But then in the end, Kamal Krishna Goswami and I discussed that actually I think it would look better if we put it in the name of ISKCON. It would be better if we put it in the name of ISKCON, but we'll still maintain the control of the management. You know, we'll have an understanding that we'll control the management. And we set certain policies which were I would say quite wise and visionary. Kamal Krishna Goswami was visionary. One was that no women could spend the night, and that was very much appreciated in the local area, as chaste and proper. Another was that we wouldn't charge people to stay here, that it would be for senior devotees who are serious about sadhana to come, and we wouldn't charge them. And that also convinced us that we could put it in the name of ISKCON, because we thought if it was making money, like a guest house, ISKCON would probably be more interested in taking over the management. But given that it was more of a charitable enterprise that was losing money, we thought we're probably pretty safe. So
all these things turned out to be true.
Yeah.
I was at the bank. Anyway, it's another story.
Just to give you an illustration of just how visionary that decision was, I was at the bank in Mathura changing some currency or something like that. And the man behind the desk, he said, "Maharaj," he said, "are you from Govardhan?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Is it true that women won't stay at night there at your place?" And I said, "Yes." And then he said, "Do you really think you can maintain that?" And I said, "Absolutely." And I was really, you know, strong about it. He came up from around the desk, touched my feet, and paid his obeisances, and said, "Maharaj, this is such wonderful news, because all of us want ISKCON to succeed. We want Srila Prabhupada to be glorified all over the world, and we know in Govardhan all these things are happening, and if you can do this, it will be a great thing for your spiritual master."
Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki jai. So this So yes, on one level, we wanted the place to be for our personal bhajan. And Tamal Krishna Goswami also had the idea that we could have facilities for scholars to come here and stay. And so he had ideas of how it could be used. That was on one level. But on another level, it was the fulfillment of Srila Prabhupada's last desire to come to Govardhan. And so we had Prabhupada's life-size deity installed. The room where the deity is installed was the king's, that was where the king would hold court. And so in the place where the king, and it's, I mean, the palace was really well designed, I mean, for darshan of Govardhan, even to be warm in the winter, cool in the summer. I mean, it was very, very well conceived and executed. And so Prabhupada would be like in the king's position holding court, and he could have darshan of Govardhan Hill. And before today, I never made that connection between that experience of Srila Prabhupada's deity being Prabhupada, and now Prabhupada's deity is here,
and
living at Govardhan and taking darshan.
And
that deity was the deity that Tamal Krishna Maharaj worshipped in Cambridge, in Oxford. Yes. And so when the deity finally came, because I was in the room also with Giriraj Maharaj when Prabhupada said, "Take me to Govardhan." So then it was not easy to get that deity, because certain persons were very attached to it. And but anyway, somehow or other, diplomatically, we arranged for that, and Prabhupada came. And the day that he came, the evening that he came, and actually went up the stairs and sat down, I heard Prabhupada's voice, "Take me to Govardhan." That's also another aspect of Tamal Krishna Maharaj's unlimited mercy. I got to touch Prabhupada's feet because he called Giriraj Maharaj out of the robe. And so he and Giriraj Maharaj were the ones that allowed me to touch Prabhupada's lotus feet and worship Prabhupada and Govardhan and his desire. I don't know what to say.
Sorry.
Now one, so I think I won't say more about that now, but one thing that came up earlier was Tamal Krishna Goswami's chastisements. And I thought I would relate one or two of those incidents for my well, I think they're instructive. So, as I mentioned, after the first Bombay Pandal, Srila Prabhupada sent Tamal Krishna Goswami and me to Calcutta to do a Pandal there. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said, "You raise the money and I will spend it." So, okay, that's fine. But he, and then even after the Pandal, we both stayed on for some months. And he would always, this is actually in Bombay, Then after Calcutta, I came to Bombay, and Bombay was the head office, and Tamal Krishna Goswami was the GBC, so Bombay sort of became like his headquarters too. So my nature was such that unless I chanted at least 12 rounds, I couldn't function. And there are two separate stories. Yeah, the first one was Calcutta, as I thought. Yeah, so he would always want me to start making appointments early because it was hard to get big people later in the day when their work had begun. But if I could catch them early at home, I could get an appointment. But I didn't feel that I just couldn't function properly unless I did at least 12 rounds first. And sometimes I couldn't complete the 12 rounds during japa period, so even after the morning program I would chant a couple of rounds in front of the deities. And Tamal Krishna Goswami, one day he was like very agitated, like, you know, why are you chanting in front of the deities? I told you that you should make appointments early. And he said, you know, you're just pretending to be chanting in front of the deities. Actually, you're just trying to avoid work. So, I mean, I didn't relate to what he said at the time, but I think that is definitely a possibility that we could, you know, in the guise of chanting, avoid service. So then later we came to Bombay, and it was the same situation. I just really struggled if I couldn't chant my rounds early enough. So one day it was very hard to get a telephone back then. But anyway, we got one, and it was in a building in an apartment we had bought in the Chan Society nearby. And so, you know, I was supposed to go and make the phone calls. So later that morning, Tamal Krishna Goswami said, you know, well, you know, what appointments did you do? Did you make phone calls early in the morning? What appointments have you made? So, you know, I was I couldn't give up my chanting, but at the same time I couldn't face his wrath, so I lied. And I said, yeah, I tried, but, you know, and then I made up a story for all the people, because he knew all the names. What about this one? What about that one? What about this one? What about
so
that
smart.
One? So, I, you know, whatever, you know, I made an excuse for each one. So, okay, it was okay. But then it turned out that he spoke to one of the people and found out that the excuse I had made was not the truth. So then he called me in. And apart from the specifics, what he said, which I felt was the most instructive, as he said, "You pretend to be very innocent, but you're not innocent at all." You know, you are very cunning. So, but then another one came very close to Srila Prabhupada's departure. And that was when Srila Prabhupada was formed a trust called the Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust. And it was meant to create a mood of cooperation among the followers of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Gaudiya Vaishnavas in general in eastern India. So Jamal Krishna Goswami sent me to the courthouse to get it registered, and it was really hot, and my remembrance of the Mathura courthouse is just like standing in line and waiting, and a lot of flies and squeaky fans, and so anyway, I did it, and I came back with the document, and I gave it to him, and then he showed it to Srila Prabhupada. And I was exhausted after that day in Mathura. So I went to take rest early, you know, maybe like 8 o'clock or so. And I just lay down, and I heard pounding on my door. And I knew it was Jamal Krishna Goswami, because no one else would pound on my door with that intensity. So I opened the door, and I, you know, invited him in. And he said, "You blew it." You know, the name of the trust was supposed to be Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust, but you got it registered as Bhaktivedanta Charitable Trust. And Prabhupada says something like, there can be many Bhaktivedantas, but there's only one Bhaktivedanta Swami. So he said, you know, you have to go back tomorrow and redo it. So, now what struck me about this incident was, and really brought great pleasure to my heart, was that he and I were friends, Jamal Krishna Goswami. But when it came to Prabhupada's service, he didn't compromise. In other words, he didn't, you know, think that, oh, you know, I have to preserve my friendship, or I have to preserve my relationship with Giriraj, so I have to be, like, sweet and nice. And I was really pleased, you know, like I said, it brought great joy to my heart, that he was, like, so strong in Prabhupada's service. And it just reconfirmed that the basis of our relationship was our service to Srila Prabhupada, not like how we dealt with each other. I mean, that may be a little bit part of it, but the real essence was our service to Srila Prabhupada. And I felt that the way he responded just reconfirmed that that was the center, and nothing else ultimately mattered. So that really brought great joy to my heart, and I went back the next day and did it properly, and Hare Krishna. So His Holiness Keshava Bharatidas Goswami would like to add something.
I have one more story about the chastisement. Only this time I would like to give you the other side of the equation. Because you may think like he was just so heavy that there was never anything else at the end of it. Just after we finished most of the refurbishment, that was 1998, summer. In case you don't know, in 1998, summer, the temperature in Govardhan went to 57. That's 136 Fahrenheit, for Americans who don't know what centigrade is. That was really hot, and we didn't have generators at that time, and we only had two or three fans in the building. We didn't have any running water. So it was very, very austere. I mean, we used to compare it to what Lord Brahma did to, you know, create the universe, and how Lord Krishna told him that austerity is my heart. So we used to... Anyway, after that, I was not feeling so well. And Giridhari Maharaj came, and then Tamal Krishna Maharaj saw what we had done so far, and he was very impressed, very happy. But then we got word that Sridhar Maharaj was in Bombay, and he was about to leave his body. So we went, the three of us, down to Bombay. I didn't feel like going, but we did. And then it turned out, by Krishna's grace, to be a false alarm. And we came back up through Jaipur to meet the Katorias, which are family that helped us with the refurbishment. And he decided that he wanted to drive back through Karoli to see Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, and then come to Vrindavan. So we did that. And by the time we got, when we were in Jaipur, I got sick and they had to call a doctor. And then we got into the car to drive to Karoli. And you know the road to Karoli? Have any of you been? It's like this. And by the time I got there, I couldn't get out of the car. And he said, "You're just pretending. You just don't want to get out of the car with me and take and go and see the deer. You're just pretending." So I just couldn't get out of the car. So when he came back on the way to Vrindavan, he was on it, you know, on me the whole time. I don't even remember all the things he said, luckily. So that when we got back to the room in Vrindavan, the house in Vrindavan, you know, by that time I was so sick, I didn't know what to do. The house was all closed up because it was very hot still. And Giridhari Maharaj and he were taking a walk outside in the evening. It was still light, but it was evening. They could have it cool, a little cooler. And I didn't feel well, so I came out, and they both looked at me, and they went like that. And I, "What's going on?" And I looked down, and my skin was like this. But seriously, it was like yellower than a banana. Yeah, I had a severe case of jaundice. So that night I took rest under my mosquito net. And when I woke up the morning, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was sitting cross-legged right outside my mosquito net, waiting for me to wake up, chanting japa. And then when I woke up, he started to talk to me. And he had tears in his eyes. And he said, I'm so sorry that I said those things to you, that you were just pretending and da-da-da-da. Sometimes devotees tell me that it's very difficult to live with me. He said, but you should understand how difficult it is to live inside this body. And I was so touched, I was so moved, and I understood how much he actually loved me and how much all the things that he did, whether it was because he had the sweet side, they used to call him we called him Chutney. We also called him Turmoil Krishna Goswami, because he could turn the situation into a nightmare at the drop of a hat. But then he would smile at you and he would give you this bob, this love. It was irresistible, so we call him the Chutney. Too hot to take and too sweet to resist.
Yeah, I was just going to say that when I first started to stay in Santa Barbara, my sister knew someone who was like expert at making tamales, which is a type of Mexican food. So, and at that time, Tamal Krishna Goswami was in Cambridge. So, you know, I just sent him a line that, you know, last night we had tamales and I thought of you. And then he wrote back just a few words. I'm your hot tamale.
Ha ha ha.